Welcome to Startup Success, the podcast for startup founders and investors. Here, you'll find stories of success from others in the trenches as they work to scale some of the fastest growing startups in the world. Stories that will help you in your own journey. Startup Success starts now.
Today on Startup Success, I'm really excited. We are going to be discussing the Denver startup market. This is going to be a fun conversation to delve into because right now there's so many tech areas in the United States that are booming, and Denver is one of those areas. So I'm excited to have Kendra Havercorn, who is head of talent at Range Ventures, an early stage venture capital firm backing tech entrepreneurs in Colorado, with us, and JP Farrow, who is here with the Berkeley team. He is our accelerator and incubator relationship manager. And JP is also based in Denver and is very familiar with the startup market there. So thank you both for being here. Kendra, why don't we get started with you? And if you could tell us a little bit about Range Ventures and what you all are doing out in Denver, that would be great.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about Denver. I love talking about startups. And any chance I get to talk about both Denver and startups is a really great conversation. So Range Ventures is an early stage venture capital firm. We closed a $23 million round last year, and our goal is to invest in the best, most ambitious early stage companies here in the greater Denver area. We exist for a few reasons. First, there's explosive growth here in the Denver tech ecosystems, and early stage founders were also expressing a need to have more access to local capital. So Range Ventures is here to kind of fill that need. We provide great founders with access to operating expertise, capital, talent networks, and importantly, local support.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, JP, you've been out there for a while. Were you seeing a need for that too?
Absolutely, Kate. And Kendra, so great to be introduced to Range and meeting you at some point this year as well. And definitely, Kate, to answer your question, I think Denver's a growing market for sure. I think, you know, after a rocky year coming off of 2020, a lot of people on the coasts are rethinking, you know, where they want to be long term or even short term. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for startups in Denver, especially for the earlier stage companies, and bringing much more of a need for firms like Range Ventures. Absolutely.
That's awesome. So Kendra, you mentioned some things that founders need within Range, like the operating, you know, efficiency ideas and talent and things like that. And in addition to just making investments, and I don't mean just investments because that's a big deal, what kind of other things, you know, are Range doing?
Well, importantly, our two investment partners, Adam Burrows and Chris Erickson, bring years of actual operating expertise into the mix. So they have both been a part of and helped shape and impact startups through every stage of growth and success. Beyond their individual expertise, we have a broad group of LPs. And they're LPs who represent some of the region's most prominent founders and CEOs, executives, and investors. And because we have such a broad and deep network within the community, we're able to work with them to help attract, develop, and support early stage startups throughout their growth and their kind of evolution and transformation. And then I'm here, and part of what I'm here to do is to be one or two degrees away from really great talent in every discipline. So my goal is to establish relationships with people who want to be a part of, who want to advise, or maybe someday, hopefully someday, start a company here. And the longer relationship that we have in place, the more trust there is. And we want to be that firm that early stage founders call when they're ready to raise money and they want that first check.
Wow, that's exciting. And JP, so you're focused on incubators and accelerators out in Denver. What are you seeing? Like, what areas of support are there? Where, if you're a founder, you know, you're thinking about, you're already in Denver, or you're thinking of where you're going to go, why Denver? What are you seeing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kate. And Kendra, those are some really great insights just into launch. And Kate, I think obviously, you know, Brad Feld is local to Boulder, and he founded Techstars, which is a prominent accelerator throughout the country and the world. And, you know, going into 2021, I think there's a lot of exciting, you know, sectors to be out on the watch for, you know, space exploration, genomics, and so forth. You know, I was at an event last week just about a cohort that Techstars is planning on launching this summer around space exploration. And obviously, you know, we're tucked into the Rockies. We have Colorado Springs, you know, an hour south of Denver, where we have an Air Force base, Lockheed Martin, Aero Electronics. There's all these just different companies and this great ecosystem that's supporting, you know, a variety of industries, you know, food and beverage, consumer, obviously healthcare, tech, you name it. So I feel like it's a great time to be coming into the city and starting a company.
And that's something that, you know, in the Bay Area and other parts of the United States, there's more of a focus on certain industries. Is that kind of Range Ventures? Is that kind of your outlook as well? Kendra, you know, you're open to all different types of industries, more just early stage or what?
So yeah, super exciting to hear about all the space exploration.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
For that market, but we'll love to follow along as people shoot off to the stars. You know, we here at Range, like our goal is to invest in tech-enabled services. And that means there's a broad spectrum of companies that could kind of inhabit that space. And as like I talked with Chris and Adam about the type of companies that they've talked to, and they've talked to hundreds over the last several months, what were some of the trends that they were seeing? To be honest, it was broad. There's a lot of themes. And I think that speaks to the opportunity in Denver, that there are diverse problems that founders are looking to solve. And that there is like a pragmatic thread that's coming through is people here in Colorado are solving problems that the world needs solved and that are real problems and not just necessarily interesting apps or gaming, you know, devices. And not that those aren't important and that they don't have their space, but there's really interesting problems. A couple of the trends that we've seen recently are, you know, within the B2B SaaS space and then also within property tech. So that might be one of the places where Denver starts to emerge as a leader.
Oh, wow. Property tax. Interesting. What are you seeing around that?
Yeah, well, this might be given Adam's background working for an advisor where, you know, but there's interesting companies like Nomad, which happens to be within our portfolio. So companies that are looking to solve problems within real estate and transactions that we might all have as homeowners.
Yeah. So Kendra, it'd be great to understand a little bit more about how you thought about your investment in Nomad, because I think taking a step back, looking at all of the changes that 2020 has made everybody think about in terms of location. You know, I spoke to somebody the other week who relocated from the Bay to Lake Tahoe, but just over the California border on Nevada so that they could, you know, escape the California taxes. And I think Denver is one of those places too. And just noticing Nomad's providing 2 years of guaranteed rental income. It's making people think, I'm sure, more about Nomad as they look to expand their portfolios into real estate, you know, a little bit more of a stable investment, which I have no doubts that Denver is going to be, you know, growing throughout the next few years and into the future. So it'd be awesome just to get a little bit of insight into how you thought about Nomad and the growth that I'm sure that they're experiencing right now.
Yeah. Well, I think Adam and Chris, you know, made the investment decision. But one of the things I can say as the talent partner is working with founders like PJ and Matt has been one of the biggest benefits, right? Is you can have a great idea and there are people behind it that help drive the success. And so I think that having people who bring deep industry expertise as well as a passion for the problem that they're about to solve is a part of the catalyst for why they are successful and on the growth trajectory that they are on. And I think you tapped into something else about why Denver is like a really exciting place to found a business and build a business. It is a place that is favorable from a tax perspective, from a cost perspective of building a business. And if you're going to want to hire great talent, if you're going to want to scale a company, doing so in an environment where there's a great lifestyle, where people can enjoy their lives, have a life, and the cost of doing business is less than it is in certain major markets, particularly those on the coast, means that the capital that you raise goes further, that you can continue to invest that into your product and your people. And that's a great opportunity for founders who are looking to start a company, especially those who are at the early stages.
I think that's such an excellent point. Are you seeing that as well, JP, when you're talking to your, you know, accelerator partners, founders, that the cost is a driving factor? Or was a driving factor?
Absolutely. I mean, I think from the folks that I've spoke with in Silicon Valley, I think, you know, a lot of families are staying within Silicon Valley, but those who might be single or more readily able to move are seeking cities to have a different experience in, and, you know, kind of bring more of that work-life balance into play. If ever, I think integrating, you know, nature into your life, and obviously you'll be working at night and so forth. But I think, you know, Denver affords people a lot of opportunities. You know, I think coming from the Midwest, from my perspective, I think Denver feels like a good hybrid. You know, you have the innovation feel of the West Coast. You've also got a lot of great people in the city too. Everybody wants to collaborate with one another. It's a great, just welcoming environment as a whole. And I think at the end of the day, you know, finances are important to everybody, right? And I think if you're, you know, depending on the industry and the type of network you want to surround yourself with, I think it's always important for founders to think about their core strengths and competencies, the people that are going to help them achieve their goals, and really just focusing on that versus trying to, you know, pick a city just based on the brand name that it has. And I think Denver's got, like what we just talked about a little bit earlier, I think Denver's got, you know, various industries with really strong investment partners that are able to, you know, help founders achieve their goals from a variety of different spaces. So absolutely, to answer the question.
That's interesting. So, you know, I remember hearing that there's, you know, I think it was, what, 33% cheaper to build a business? Is that correct?
33% cheaper to build a business in Denver than it is in Silicon Valley. I believe that was the stat that we heard over in September.
Yeah, and I think that's very compelling. So that being said, I mean, I'm hearing about all this innovation, all these different industries. I mean, the stuff about the space and just, you know, it's very exciting, obviously beautiful. But what about the talent? Like, are you finding the talent? Are there big enough hiring pools to scale from and that kind of thing? Because that's one of the things that I know when people leave, you know, the Bay Area or New York, they're always worried about.
Happy to talk about that. So I think I want to travel back in time for a moment because I think it helps paint the story of why, like, this is a great place for talent and building a company right now. In 2010, Denver had offices for Google and Microsoft and Oracle. And we had an emerging startup scene with a few companies kind of leading the way. Fast forward 10 years, over 80 tech companies from the West Coast have either made HQ2s or invested in large-scale offices here, whether that's Twitter and Slack or Zoom and Amazon. And so we are starting to have companies who recognize and are bringing their talent to Denver.
When you I didn't realize it was that many. Okay. Yes. Got it. Okay.
Yes, major investments. You'll hear about it almost every week on the news. Then we've had a lot of homegrown success over the last several years as well. So it isn't a place where there's just like a one-stop shop for your startup career. There is like breadth and depth. And we have several unicorns that have merged, whether that's Ibotta or Guild Education or Datalogix. And I think now talents, and especially in light of the pandemic and the opening of remote work for so many of us, they're starting to say, like, there's opportunity. There's opportunity at early stage, mid stage, later stage companies. Or some of those folks who decide to move to Denver with their large tech employer, they have the chance to start a company or explore new ideas within a generous, and I think JP, you mentioned this, like, it is a community where people will pick up the phone, they will show up when we're allowed to show up again and meet with you. And so it is a place where, like, talent is coming because their companies are importing them, where the pandemic has accelerated people being interested in having a different life. And ambitious people are realizing that there's a ton of really great companies at every stage here in Denver where they can work and grow and advance their career.
Wow, that's awesome. So JP, having, you know, Kendra just laid out a really great argument for a high talent pool. So I'm a startup founder, or, you know, I have an idea. Tell me where to network. Tell me how to get, you know, I'm moving to Denver. How do I get hooked in? Like, what are there groups? Are there, you know, certain, you know, you mentioned tech stars, but what else?
Absolutely. I mean, there's great resources on the web, like Built in Colorado and so forth. You know, I think just being creative with searching around on LinkedIn, you know, connecting with others who are in the similar space as yourself. I think that any founder would find themselves, you know, welcome in this community because it's a melting pot. Like, most of the people that I speak with, Kendra, I'm not sure if you have the same experience, but most aren't natives. And the people who are natives to Colorado proudly proclaim that. So it's, you know, not a exclusive community really by any means, which is amazing, right? It's super welcoming to really anybody who's trying to make a name for themselves in Denver, Colorado as a whole. And Kendra, I think you made an interesting point as well. I think the pandemic certainly just accelerated this whole idea that you really can work from anywhere. We lived in a tech-enabled world beforehand, but I definitely think the pandemic kind of accelerated that, you know, tenfold. And I think you nailed it on the head, right? We've had Microsoft, Oracle had presence here for quite some time, but I was reading a stat. I think we've had around 35 Colorado-based IPOs just in the last 5 years,
wow.
Somewhere between 30 and 35, I believe. And
that's impressive.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, just in this last year or two, we've had headquarter relocations like Palantir from Silicon Valley to Denver. And then, you know, as we speak about Oracle moved from their headquarters from Silicon Valley to Austin, Texas. So there's definitely a lot of moving around, and which is interesting to see. And Kendra, one question I had for you, specifically relating to Range Ventures, one thing that I think is awesome that goes a little bit under the radar that I think is important for founders to think about is how you have those 100 limited partners backing Range Ventures and how their experience relates to companies based in Colorado like Guild Education, Ibotta, and the list goes on. Could you talk a little bit about how that network can, you know, help foster a Range company's goals and embed themselves even further into the Colorado community and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I think having such a broad and talented group of LPs is an advantage, especially for an early stage fund. When you have 100 people out there who are committed to helping to build the next generation of tech companies in Denver and who are working with and collaborating with Range to do so, they're going to provide introductions, right? So we're going to meet founders before they even realize that they're ready to found a company or in the earliest stage, because they have trust with the person who does the intro. This is not just a cold intro. It'll be an introduction to somebody that maybe an LP has worked with, either Chris or Adam or myself. And those are exciting and great opportunities to take advantage of. Also, once the company has been invested in by Range, there are people that like you can tap at every stage of growth. So our LPs have navigated all of the challenges, all of the crises, the chaos of every stage of growth, and they've come away with lessons and expertise and wisdom. They're there to be a sounding board and a partner. And so I think being able to tap not only like your investors' expertise, but a broader range of people who represent all different backgrounds and disciplines, who've built companies of, you know, B2B, B2C, et cetera, they're going to be able to share those insights and help our founders along the way. And the more, you know, you want to be a degree or two away, having 100 people out there willing to kind of like refer you, open a door, you know, kind of lift someone up is a really great advantage and something that I think we're just beginning to see the fruits of our LP network start to play out a few months into kind of like the fund being out and public in the world.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's what an excellent resource.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think of Silicon Valley in the Bay Area, there's been a decade and more of great success. And there are so many people there. It is probably the most concentrated place on earth where there are people who have started and succeeded in building tech companies, who have raised, you know, billions and billions of dollars collectively. And so I think one of the things that is different is that like you've constantly exposed to those stories, you know, the names. And I think one of the things that like Denver is emerging in, but still has room to continue to grow within, is making sure that we have those like mentors, those success stories who can help advise the founders who are following in their footsteps. And, you know, we have our LP network, and that's just a start. And there's a lot of really exceptional founders and leaders in tech companies here in Denver, but we still haven't achieved the concentration that the Bay Area has. And so I think one of the opportunities is to continue to connect those dots so that people feel like they have access to somebody who can share a story, provide context, and advise them at different stages. And that's just something that like I feel very confident if we pick up this conversation in 3 or 4 years, it'll be an even better story with the momentum that we have right now. But I do think that that's an advantage that the Bay Area has. There are also some of the leading venture capital funds and firms out in the Bay Area. And so like it's nice to be able to look around you, find brilliant, innovative tech leaders starting companies, of which there's no shortage in the Bay Area. And they're lucky. They don't have to go far. They don't have to explore, you know, new and emerging places to necessarily deploy their capital and have great wins and great success stories. We're increasingly seeing those funds, by the way, like Sequoia, like General Catalyst, like Bessemer, start to make investments in Colorado, which is a great story for all of us, right? That eyes are coming here, that we're starting to see momentum and potential, and that they're seeing it too. But there are more funds. There are more investors for every stage that you will encounter as a founder and as a leader of a tech company in the Bay Area. And so Range is here to start to solve that gap and fill that gap at the earliest stages. But there's still an opportunity, I think, for founders as they progress through the growth and transformation of their companies and start to raise those subsequent rounds, to need to have relationships with a broader group of venture capital partners. And so that's an opportunity that I think we'll start to see more of, and more opportunity in Denver, but certainly we haven't caught up to the Bay Area quite yet.
I think that's a good point, because as, you know, Denver startups scale, they'll need, you know, that continued investment and resources. But on the flip side of that, a lot of the VC firms in the Bay Area are finding it so difficult, the political climate and the business environment here, you know, they're starting to send their dollars out more and more. What is the climate, you know, like in Denver politically? Is it pretty centrist and kind of pro building business, that kind of thing?
Yeah. And JP, feel free to chime in too. I'll give you one point of view is, yes, it is more of a moderate political climate. Mm-hmm. We have a history of, you know, both sides coming together to do great things. And one of the great things that I think over the last 10 years we've really seen an impact in is continuing to make it a very competitive and viable place for people to start and build a business. We have accessible leaders. So a lot of the leaders within our business community have access to our mayor, our governor, and they can help be part of, help shape policy decisions that will continue to make this a place where hiring people, building a company, investing back in the city is something that's possible. And so I think Denver has made a commitment, Denver and Colorado more broadly, have made the commitment to invest in infrastructure and other things that are going to make Denver a place where it is attractive and viable to have a company that thrives, and a company that thrives whether you're a three-person company, 300 or 3,000. And I think that that's a really great community to be a part of, and that our tech leaders can have access to the people who are making those decisions, and that it is a more collaborative kind of public-private sector relationship so far.
Yeah, Kendra, I think that's all very well said. And I think, you know, Brian from Ibotta spoke a little bit about this on the episode from September. But I think having political leaders who are willing to work with the business community is extremely important, because they'll lay the framework of how, you know, future businesses are going to be able to do business in the city and state that they're in. And his experience, it seems to be very, very great with politicians here. And I think it's more of an open dialogue, where in other markets, you might not be able to have that access to working alongside political leaders and ensuring that, you know, the road ahead looks good for everybody involved. So definitely, I think Colorado is, you know, moderate in all aspects of the word, you know, politically, from a tax perspective, both income and property taxes, I think are pretty fair and stand out, right? So that's awesome to hear your perspective.
I like that, JP, how you phrased it too as open dialogue, because I think that is unique. You don't see that in a lot of tech cities right now. That's not the case. You know, some are even fighting the expansion as more and more startups are coming here. So I think that's a really important point. So I'm hearing, you know, talent, infrastructure, we've got investment, we've got, you know, tech stars and other resources. Okay, so as we wind down, before, you know, you let our listeners know where to reach you, something fun from each of you that you like to do in Denver, like a museum, certain hike, because people listening to this, if they haven't already been, they're probably going to be going once we all get our COVID, you know, post-COVID freedom. So maybe one or two recommendations of, you know, something to see or do in Denver. JP,
sure.
You want to start?
Yeah, I can kick us off. So there's quite a few. And before I get into that, I think one thing you mentioned, Kate, was about infrastructure. And I think a weird little thing that's special to me, I guess, about Denver and Colorado as a whole is the Colorado River actually starts here in the Rockies. And that basically hydrates a big portion of the Southwest. And, you know, this is kind of a little bit forward thinking, but I think water is one of our world's most valuable resources. And I love making my way out to the mountains. I think skiing is a big reason that drew me out to Colorado. Steamboat Springs is my absolute favorite mountain to go to. And, you know, another comment on infrastructure, I believe they're still working on that extra lane on I-25 or I-70, excuse me. So that should take care of a lot of the traffic problems that are coming with just all of the growth that Colorado's seeing. So I'm certainly excited about that. And then I'm a big foodie as well. We've got a couple great sushi places to call out
sushi?
A few. Sushi Den.
Wow.
Sushi. Yes.
Yeah.
I know. You wouldn't think of it, right? Because we're pretty landlocked.
Right.
We're very landlocked, to say the least. But there's three really great sushi restaurants. And Kendra, I'm not sure if you've been, but Uchi, you know, Sushi Sasa and Sushi Den and their sister restaurants are just outstanding, and you'll have to try it to believe it, because I know we are literally in the middle of the country, but I think the skiing is one of my favorite things to do out here on the weekend.
Oh, I love it. That sounds awesome. That's and great to note about the freeway highway expansion, because I've sat pre-COVID in some traffic there, so that's good news.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No. What about you, Kendra?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really unique about Denver is you can be in the heart of the city and you look west and you see like those majestic mountains. Mm-hmm. And when you're not stuck in traffic, or if you have the opportunity to take an afternoon, start early, or do it on a weekday, you can like get access to some of the most beautiful landscapes in every single season. And you don't have to go far. You can do the Flatirons in Boulder. You can do Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. So I would say outdoor life is something that's exceptional in Colorado and what we're known for. But it's a more increasingly like urban, village-oriented city too. Like one of the things I think is so great to do in Denver is actually put on a pair of tennis shoes and walk around. You can walk from downtown to Wash Park to Platte Park, Capitol Hill, within an hour, you know, there and back, or even take a 2-hour walk and pop in an Uber and head back to the center of the city or wherever you're from. And I think when you get out and you're exploring a city on foot, you get to see the restaurants, the hidden spots, whether it's Sushi Den or a cupcake or a cookie place that you might not have encountered had you stayed in your neighborhood. And I do think that there are vibrant areas of restaurant and retail, all of these small businesses that we also want to support and want to see thrive, especially as we emerge from COVID in 2021. But it's a place where you can explore and have fun with just a pair of walking shoes. And I love doing that. And I also love like getting out on the weekend and looking at like big skies and stars at night, which is hard to do in any city. But if you tuck yourself away in Steamboat or, you know, kind of in other areas of the mountains, like you'll see beautiful skies and you'll really appreciate everything that Colorado has to offer, especially if you have the athletic endurance and lung capacity to take advantage of the altitude and continue to do your sport, whatever that might be.
Wow, you guys have sold me. I
don't forget about the sunshine as well, Kate. We get 300 days of sunshine a year out here.
Oh,
you know,
really? I didn't realize
totally.
It was that many. Wow.
It's a lot of sun, you know, coming from Michigan. You know, I get to see sunshine from the months of November through April, which is super appreciated. And, you know, one of the biggest things that called out to me, so going back a few years, I worked for a startup in college called GoGlove, and I worked directly for the two founders, and they called me and said, hey, you know, we're going to go to the ski and snowboard trade show in Denver in January. And, you know, I was figuring it was going to be sub-zero temperatures and extremely freezing. I landed in Denver and it was like 65 degrees late January. And
wow.
That totally like the rug was just totally pulled beneath my
yeah.
feet. And that I saw all of the growth, so many cranes, you know, just an active scene all in all. And that's really, I think, what really kind of opened my eyes to Denver, right? I thought about it as, oh my gosh, it's this frigid climate. It never sees the sun. And it was the complete opposite. So
oh, that's a good
interesting
story.
Little backstory there.
I love it. I love it. Well, yeah, I've always enjoyed Denver. Red Rocks is on my to-do list.
Red Rocks.
I still have not seen a show there. So, yes.
Well, they're not doing shows anymore. Hopefully they change that soon. We'll see. Hopefully that's on my wish list for 2021. We'll see.
I know. Brooklyn road trip. Well, thank you so much, both of you. Kendra, just to wrap up, I want listeners to know how they can reach you both. Kendra, could you let them know and where they can find you, how to reach Range Ventures?
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have the opportunity to talk to anyone who's looking to move to Denver, be part of a startup in Denver. Our website is range.vc. If you want to get in touch with me personally, there's a button on the website, or it's kendra@range.vc. So shoot me an email. I would be excited to have a conversation and tell you more of the reasons why like working or founding a company in Denver is a great next step for so many people who are excited about being part of a high growth, really exciting tech ecosystem like Denver.
Thank you. And JP, you are an excellent resource for startups as well. How do listeners get in touch with you?
Yes, to the audience listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm very accessible. You could find me on LinkedIn. My name there is JP Farrow. And then you could also find me on Twitter as well. My handle is @FarrowJohn. That's FerroJohn. And I'm just super excited to be speaking with anybody who's in Denver or looking to move to Denver and helping them on their journey. And just a quick bit about Berkland. We help startups basically focus on what they do best is growing their business and focusing on their end customers while we help kind of strategically think about their finances and how to get to that next stage of growth. So super excited to be connected with everybody and thanks so much for listening.
Thank you both so much. I think, I learned a lot about Denver and the opportunity there, and I know the audience did as well. And I think, you both are providing a lot and a lot of great insight on, for founders on what to do in the market. So thank you both. We'll be back next time.
You've been listening to Startup Success. To make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Like what you hear? Tap the number of stars you think the show deserves in Apple Podcasts. For more tools and resources for your own startup success, check out berklandassociates.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.